And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy, coming to you from Austin, Texas, being heard around the world on Worldwide Christian Radio, WWCR, out of Nashville. And, of course, our studio is here in Austin. And we're happy to have you again today. You know, I love this radio program. I really do. I enjoy it so much. Just the fact that I get to talk with you personally every week. That's a glorious privilege. Think about that. I mean, I'm going to talk with you every week. How many people even talk to their friends or relatives? You know, some people you don't see for weeks and weeks or months and months, but I get to talk to you a personal conversation every week. And then many of you write to me too, and I read every letter that comes in. There's none that I don't read. I mean, even if some person says, "Tex, you're a crummy, rotten person," I love them anyway. I don't care. Let them say what they want to. Had a letter from a lady just the other day, and she says, "I'm going to write and tell everybody." I guess she's going to write on the internet. I don't know what kind of audience she has, but you're a bad person because you've been saying terrible things about Muslims, and we need to give Muslims a chance, and we need to be more fair to the Muslim faith. And I wrote her back. I said, "This is ma'am." She says, "But if you'll change, I won't send out this letter to people." You know, I get a lot of letters sort of like that. You know, if you'll apologize, or if you'll change, then I won't start talking to people, telling them you're bad. And I wrote her back and said, "Ma'am, I don't change when opposition comes. I don't measure the opposition, you know, put it on a balancing scale. I do what God tells me to do. And if it meets with great opposition, I do it anyway. Because I know something, my friends. You know, I'm old enough. I've had this ministry, 3 or 4 years now. Been on the radio about 30 of it. And I know this much. If I'll do the right thing before God, I let him handle the numbers. And boy, I've had people really just, I mean, all kinds of letters would come in. They say, "You're going to be your worst nightmare. We're going to do this to you. We're going to shut you down. We're going to, you know," all these things. And I just kept up. Now, I read their letters. I listened to them. I gave it a fair shot. But then I went and did what God told me to do. And you know what? After a while, their letters got fewer and fewer. And then many of them began to write me letters and say, "Tex, I want to apologize. I'm sorry for what I said about you." You're right. I checked it out myself. I've had letters in that say, "I thought you were crazy. I thought you were wacko. I thought you were a conspiracy nut. I thought you were," well, they said, "Well, now I agree with you." Wow. How did you know this? Well, let me tell you how I know things. How do I know so much? That's what somebody wrote to me and said in a letter, said, "How do you know so much about so many things?" Well, I work very hard at it. I do, all day long, all night long. Sometimes I do take time to sleep, and that's about it. If you'll come visit my house, you'll see I have my face in a book, in newspapers, in magazine articles, online. I'm reading, I'm studying, and I contrast everything. I don't believe, you know, but about 10% of what I read, and I want to corroborate it even then. But I study very hard. But that's not why. Some people say, "Oh, you're so intelligent." No, that's not it either. I depend on God. That's right. I say, "Lord, I have friends out there on Power of Prophecy, getting my newsletter, listening to my radio show, and they rely on me to tell the truth. I can't be spreading lies, and especially about your word, what you say in the word of God. I've got to tell the truth. Please help me to do so." And you know what? God is good. God is great. God empowers me. And it's not just me. It's the people that listen to this message, the people that read our webpage, that read our newsletter, that listen to this radio program. They know that I'm telling the truth because God somehow reveals it to their heart. That's what God does. And I'm very thankful to him for that. And people that they come back here and they apologize sometimes. Some of them haven't. They've left and they've, you know, gone on and, but most of them have. And they stay with us because they want to know the truth. And I want to know the truth too. That's why I ask God. Now, who knows more than God? Nobody. And God never has to apologize. But I do sometime. Rarely, but I do. If I make a mistake. If I make a big mistake, it's because I didn't stay close to God's rules. His laws. Okay. I wanted to say all that because a lot of people wonder why I do the things I do. It's not for money. It's not. I promise you it's not. And if you were to come see, well, oh my. We lose money in the sale of books and tapes and videos and so forth. But we're still going to keep going. Now, we stay in business because good people like you, wonderful, loving Christian people, even a few non-Christians. And you better watch out if you're a non-Christian because I promise you, I'm going to pray for you. What did I say? If you're a hateful, mean man and you write me negative letters, I'm going to pray for you. You're in trouble. Not because I'm going to take a stick or something to you. Maybe somebody should, but anyway, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to pray that God will punish you. I'm going to pray that God will love you and show you the truth. You see, that's how I get my revenge. I get revenge on people. They say negative things about me. They say mean things. They try to destroy me, and I pray for them. I say, Lord Jesus, be with this person. He doesn't understand. Or be with this lady. She thinks I'm just a terrible person, but reveal this to her heart. I am a kind, I really am a nice person. I want to be good, but I want to be true. And you know, that works a lot more. It's some, you know, the Apostle Paul says that's when you pray for somebody, when you show them kindness when they've been mean and cruel, that's like heaping coals of fire on their head. That's what he said. Think about it. When you come back with instead of being like they are, you know, an eye for an eye. I've always said, you know, you take an eye for an eye and pretty soon everybody's blind. Right? But if you stay awake and you try to awaken them with prayer and love and consideration, guess what? Sometimes they come through for you. Because God is more powerful than their mean, vindictive feelings. And then those just, they fade away. They dissolve. And they become a good person, too. And they become a fine person. They become a saved person. I've spoken too much. I'm sorry. Because I've got an important topic today. Let's get right into it. Here's the subject for today, for tonight. Depends on when you're listening, of course, here on internet. Or maybe on WWCR or some, maybe by tape. But I'm concerned because President Trump, yeah, we're going to talk about President Trump today. He faces a wicked nation. That's what he's facing, a wicked nation. He's had a hard time even before he became the president. So fighting this wicked nation, will he survive? But a greater question is, will America survive? Will you survive? Friends, I think it's very important to think of President Trump. Whether you want him to survive or not is important because, let me tell you, his survival, we depend on his survival, his success. If he's not a success, then we're not an economic and financial and political success. Well, now, I agree. We can be a spiritual success no matter what happens, no matter who we have as president. This nation can go downhill fast, can go right into the sewer. And we can say above it through prayer to Jesus and through our sacrificing our time and our energies to him and to his work. I realize that. It doesn't matter what your neighbor does, but it matters what you do in terms of your eternal destiny, but it does matter what your neighbor does. Would you like to live in a community of liars, of cheats, of homosexuals, of transsexuals, of people who said profanity and use curse words all the time? Who you couldn't trust because they would just as soon stab you as look at you. Would you like to live in a community like that? A wicked community? Boy, read the story of Lot in the Bible. Just read that story. Boy, he faced it. And then when those two angels came to his house, they were in the form of very handsome men. And the gaze of Sodom and Gomorrah came and started beating on his door saying, give us those men. We want them. We want their flesh. That's what they were saying. Hey, we haven't seen these guys. They're new. Let's party with them. Let's have sex with them. That's what those homosexuals were demanding. Lot says, well, why don't you take my daughters? They're young virgin girls. Now, somebody wrote to me one time and said, boy, Lot was a wicked man. He wanted to take his daughters rather than those two angels. You know, he was offering up his daughters. No, he wouldn't. He was being sarcastic. He knew those gay men, those gays that were banging on his door and trying to get the two young angels to come out because they wanted to have sex and party with him. He knew they didn't want his daughters. He was taunting them. He was making fun of them. Why don't you want my daughters? They're young, they're beautiful, they're virgins. No, we want those men. Yeah, they were a bunch of queers. That's what they were. He knew it, and he's making fun of them. I do that sometime. I know I'm bad, according to the world. I don't appreciate gays. Let me tell you why. Because God made us to be men and women. He made Adam and Eve. And he made the woman to be a helpmate for the man. And he made the man to be a protector and somebody who would care for and love the woman. And the woman in return would love the man. But the man is supposed to love his wife or his helpmate as Jesus does love him. Now, this is a great thought, my friends. Now, does Jesus abuse you? Has Jesus ever took a big stick and whipped you with it? Has he ever beat you to a pulp? Has he ever taken a knife or a gun and threatened you? No. So the Bible says the man is to be to the wife what Jesus is to him. Oh my, Jesus is so kind. He's so gentle. He's understanding. He is the perfect example. And when women say, well, I'm a feminist, I don't let men tell me what to do. You got the wrong man. You think of men the wrong way. And the man who abuses the woman, he's full of the devil. He's an infidel. But if they're with God, then everything is right. The woman and the man, they both respect each other. Somebody says, yeah, I like to keep those women in the house, man. I like to keep them barefoot and pregnant, you know, and boy, just don't let them get out and don't let them, you know, I control my wife. Yeah, well, you're wrong, buddy. Read Proverbs about the woman of God. She's, as it turns out, she goes out and buys a piece of property on her own. I'm not suggesting your wife buy, pardon my wife and I, like, we look at things together. You know, we live in the house we lived in. She went and saw it one day and said, I really like that house. She said, Tex, come see this house. It's for sale. I said, no, I don't really want to. She said, oh, come on. Come see it. Oh, okay. And I went and said, hey, this is a beautiful house. I like this house. She says, I knew you would if I could just get you. I said, well, you did, and you're right. You see, I had respect for Wanda, so I went to see the house. And I love the house. Now we've got the perfect house. Actually, it's a little bit smaller than the house we had because, you know, we don't have any kids at home anymore. So, you know, what do we need a giant house for? But it's a nice size. It's just perfect for us. In fact, we may have to move down again. You know, I guess you get older, rather than going up, you move down. So that's what some people do. Listen, I'm concerned about President Trump, but I'm thankful that he is a very strong man. He's holding up to it, my friends. Let's look at the opposition against him and let's see what he's been doing and let's see if we can make heads or tails of what's going on. From the very beginning, he had trouble with the Democrats, naturally. Hillary Clinton. And she had the most criminally devious, trickster type organization. And she thought rather than going out and finding what the people needed, what the people wanted, what the middle class wanted, she didn't care about jobs. She didn't care about the economy. She was for open borders to everybody. Bring them all in. End America. In American sovereignty. And in her finding of Trump, she sought dirty, vicious ways to destroy him. That's what she was trying to do, destroy him. Now, I believe two candidates ought to put their best face forward and tell the people exactly what they're going to do and let the people choose. But she didn't want you to know what she was going to do. She lied. I mean, this has been a murdering lesbian witch. All of her life, she's been a murdering lesbian witch. And she used that same devious, evil, criminal behavior in her campaign against Donald Trump. All the Democrats are evil. Let me tell you why, my friends. They're all pro-abortion. I can tell whether a person is good or bad by asking them that question. What do you think, sir? Or what do you think, ma'am, about abortion? If they say, I'm in favor of it, I know right away. They're in favor of murder. They're in favor of the killing of little children. Now, Jerry, here in my studio, Jerry gave me an article, asked me to read it, and I did. And it's very sad. It's about a federal judge, Judge William Orrick III. Judge William Orrick. He's a big Obama man. He's a federal judge now. And he's making fun of Jesus Christ. He's making fun of those who are opposed to abortion. Now, this guy made a restraining order against a group called the Center for Medical Progress. This Judge Orrick, William Orrick, O-R-R-I-C-K, said that this Center for Medical Progress, which is made up of people who are opposed to abortion, you see, they went out and made videos of Planned Parenthood and such. And they found in these secret videos that they filmed that Planned Parenthood was very happy to talk about how much money they were making from selling the body parts of the little babies that they were slaughtering. You go give your baby up for an abortion, and they try to make sure that the parts come out good. They don't just go in and rip apart your baby and pull it out. They go in and precisely use the finest methods of surgery to take out the eyeballs and the brain and the liver and all these body parts because they know they can sell them for a lot of money. That's right. They sell them. Sell the body parts of these little babies. Some of them, I mean, they're in the eighth and ninth month. Outside the womb, they can live. They're alive. And so these people, they took videos of these Planned Parenthood officials talking about how much money they were making from selling the body parts. And they offered these videos to TV networks. Well, very few would take them. Because, you see, they want to keep from you the horror of abortion. They don't want people to know that they're selling body parts. And Planned Parenthood said, no, that's a lie. We don't do that. But of course they do it. And when these people put out their videos, Christian groups could play these videos. That's about the only ones that would. You don't turn on CBS, ABC, and see or NBC and see these videos. Oh, no. So Planned Parenthood goes to Judge Orrick and says, stop them. Stop them from telling people the truth. Don't let them tell people what we do to those little babies. So the judge issued an order. You can't show your videos. You can't tell people what Planned Parenthood's doing. He prohibited it. Since when is truth prohibited in America? Of course, this filthy, dirty, rotten judge, his wife, Carolyn Orrick, she's a public supporter. His wife is a public supporter of extreme abortion policies. She's for abortion, and he's for abortion. So they're allowing their pro-abortion stand and their hatred for Christian groups to rule their courtroom. So he makes a ruling, and he says, I'm going to put you in jail if you play these videos anymore. I'm giving you the shortcut version, but that's true. Now, this goes to politics, too, because Arizona Senator Republican, yes, Republican, Jeff Flake, and he is a flake. His name is Flake. He's the one that recommended this judge, too. And when the Senate confirmed this judge, it was Arizona Senator Jeff Flake said he's a good man. We should vote for him. In fact, he voted twice for this guy. This is an uncivilized, dirty, filthy pro-murderer. this judge. He should be impeached. You can impeach judges. That's how you get rid of them. That's what our Constitution says. But the Congress just lets it go on. They don't mind. In fact, they're giving money, $500 million a year to Planned Parenthood. $500 million, and what is Planned Parenthood? What's the number one mission of Planned Parenthood? It's abortion. And then they make money from all these body parts. Does the poor young girl who gets pregnant and goes to Planned Parenthood, is she getting part of this money? Are they giving her money for the body parts that they steal from her little baby? Do they say, we took the eyeballs, we took the liver, we took the heart, we took the brains, we took every part of your body, and we're going to give you a share of the proceeds? No, they don't. She thinks they get rid of it, they immolate it, they burn it or whatever she thinks. They take it out carefully, and then they take it and put it, and then they take it apart bit by bit. But the judges don't want you to know if these federal judges and this filthy, dirty Arizona U.S. Senator Jeff Flake. If you're from Arizona, write this guy and tell him what I said. Tell him I call him a dirty, filthy, pro-murder politician. By the way, he's opposed to Donald Trump. Oh, Jeff Flake hates him. Because he doesn't like the immigration stand. He wants all the immigrants to come in, illegal or otherwise. That's Jeff Flake. You voted for him, people of Arizona. You voted for this dirty, filthy, rotten man. Now this judge may come up and tell me, you can't say those things about me on your radio program. I'll put you in jail. Will you just put me in jail? I'll holler them out in the courtroom. I'll holler them down the hallways, the aisleways of the jail cell. Then where will you put me? Well, I guess down in the below in the pit. So I can holler out to the birds. But I'll do it then. The insects, whatever. The rats, whatever inhabits that cell, they'll hear from me about you. Judge William Orrick III. Boy. Now, let's go back to the Democrats. These intelligence committees have been meeting, and they've been accusing Donald Trump of colluding with Russia. What the heck does colluding mean? Let me tell you something, friends. If presidential candidates want to collude with other countries, they can do so. There's nothing in our Constitution that prohibits it. Did you just understand me? There's nothing that prohibits them from colluding, from conspiring if you want to. But let me explain something to you. When Clinton was president, he took money under the table from the Chinese. The red Chinese campaign contributions. And Hillary Clinton, just a couple of years ago, took $145 million from the Russians, And in exchange, she signed over 20% of all of America's uranium. And what's uranium used for? To make nuclear bombs. They gave her $145 million. They gave it to her, the Clinton Foundation. Now that is illegal. If she wants to collude with Russia, they can be her top advisors. That's okay. I think it's bad. I think Americans ought to take care of their own political situation. But if she wanted to, okay. But when she takes money, pay for play, that's what they call it, she's going to do them a favor as Secretary of State in exchange for money. And then her husband goes over there and he gives a 15-minute talk over in Russia. And they pay him $500,000. Now, friends, let me tell you something. Think about it. How many other men in America can go and make $500,000 from a 15-minute speech? And you already know what this jerk's going to say. I know everything he's going to say. He was president for 8 years. He was pro-abortion, anti-American for 8 years. I know that's what he's going to say. They knew what he's going to say. They don't care what he's going to say. They probably had a couple of hundred of rich Russian oligarchs, probably Jews, and they listened to him. They were just paying him $500,000 because his wife, the Secretary of State, had done a favor for them, had given them 20% of America's uranium. Boy. So someday we get into World War III with Russia, maybe, and guess what? They use nuclear bombs on us. They kill hundreds of millions of people in America. How did they do that? Well, with the uranium given to them by Miss Hillary Rodham Clinton. Boy, no wonder her campaign button back when her husband ran for president at the Democratic Party convention, they had a picture of her with a afro type haircut, short afro green haircut like Rodman, the basketball player. And it said on the campaign button that all the delegates wore, it said, as bad as she wants to be. They were proud of, the Democrats were proud. She's bad. And you know, during this women's march against Trump, all the women said, we're nasty women. Remember that? Ashley Judd or whatever her name was. She gets up and tells the people, I'm a nasty woman. I'm against you, Trump. That's a badge of honor for them to be nasty. Do you see how this nation has become degraded? These are depraved, rotten people, evil. I'm wearing my pussy hat, that pink pussy hat, and I'm a nasty woman. Remember Senator Elizabeth Warren from up New England? That's what she said. I'm a nasty woman. And Hillary said, I'm a nasty woman. See, Hillary gave a talk recently, and at the end of it, they gave her a T-shirt, you know, sort of as a gift. And on it, it said, I'm a nasty woman. Had a picture of Hillary on it. And she showed it to the whole audience. She was proud of it. I'm a nasty woman. Yeah, because you've killed all those babies. Yeah, because you're a witch. Yeah, because you're a lesbian. How do I know she's a lesbian? Hey, she's had a girlfriend for years, the same girlfriend who lives with her, who shacks up with her, who has sex with her, a Muslim woman. And that's the reason for the secret that I'm going to tell you next. That's why they hate Christians so much they're even pushing more Muslims. Right now, that's why we're having all these Muslims come in. That's why Obama invited all these Muslims to the United States, so that they could put a squelch on Christians, so they could put the squeeze on Christians, so they could shaft all the Christians. Oh, yes. That's right. That's what the Muslims are doing across America. Am I anti-Muslim? You better believe it. I'm a Christian, fella. I'm a Christian, lady. And the Muslims are evil, and they don't love Jesus Christ, and I do. They're unsaved. More than that, they're desperate, depraved individuals, and they willingly kill people, and what they do to their own daughters and wives is horrible. Oh, my. Islam is one of the most evil religions on earth. Only Judaism is more evil than Islam. That's why they're doing what they're doing with terrorism. That's why they're burning Christians alive. Because they're evil. They're wicked. And Trump is our man. We voted him in, and he has a responsibility to make sure that we're protected from these evil Muslim people. And boy, the Democrats are trying to fight him on it. They're pushing the Muslims big. And Hillary's lover, her lesbian lover, has been a Muslim woman. I'll tell you more about that on the other side of this break. I'm getting sort of fired up here. I am. But I'm tired of this wicked nation. I'm thankful for Christians, the few that are out there. Thank God for you. But for the Muslims, for the Jews, for all of these people who plot and do evil things, dastardly things against Christians, well, I need to pray for you, don't I? Boy, do I ever need to pray for you. I'll be right back. I'm Tex Mars. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. We're talking about President Donald Trump. This is Tex Mars again. I want to thank those of you who have given to this ministry to help us continue our programs. And what is our program? Well, number one, we tell the truth to the world. We've got in trouble a lot for it. We've had the FBI come to see us several times. We've had the IRS audit our books. We've had all kind of things happen to us. But you know what? God has helped us win. We're winners here. And we will always be winners in Jesus Christ. Because we honor Him. That's why we win. And we don't fight people with our gloves. We just tell the truth. You know, we have a plaque. I ran into it. I was in I think I was in one of these antique stores, and had a sign up, and it said, you know, the truth shall make you free, John 8:44. And I thought, wow, that needs to be in my ministry on the wall. So I bought it. It was like $12 or something. I brought it and brought it here to the ministry. When you walk in the front door, look at the wall. There it is. The truth shall make you free. I said, that's great, isn't it? The truth shall make you free. And you know, there's something else I read in the Bible that really impressed me. It said that God opens the doors that no man can shut. Thought about that. That's why nobody's been able to close us down. You know, the FBI comes see me, and I just say, well, here, have a cup of coffee and chat with me. And they talk with me for 30 minutes or an hour, and they know. Not everybody in the FBI is evil. A lot of good agents. They know that I'm telling the truth. And one of the FBI agents called me. He had been to see me several times here, and he was given orders to by higher headquarters. Check this guy out, you know. Well, he did. And he wrote to tell me that they were not going to open up an official investigation of my ministry. I didn't know they were even thinking of opening one. He says, we see what you're doing. And he said, I just wanted you to know we're not going to investigate you. Well, I didn't know what you were doing. I thought you just came down to check us out. Okay. All right. You're not going to investigate me. All right. Sort of like Donald Trump, you know, the FBI chief told him three times he wasn't under investigation. I guess is what they were doing to me. Tell me you're not under investigation. Okay. All right. They know I'm telling the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We had an audit here, and the auditor says, so who gives you the authority to do these things? To say what you're saying on radio? You know, he was amazed. Who gives you the authority to do this? I guess he was looking for some book or some law or something. So my Bible was right on my desk. I picked it up, and I said, this book here gives me the authority. He said, oh, I don't want to hear any Bible stuff. I said, well, you don't? Oh, no, don't read that Bible to me. He was really upset because I was going to read the Bible to him. I was going to show him all the places in the Bible where God tells us to stand up against evil. And he wanted me to show him some earthly authority. I don't care if every person on earth is against me. And you shouldn't either, friends. I appreciate you so much because you stand by this ministry. Now, I have a book here. Boy, it's a wonderful book. It's called Hidden History. H-I-D-D-E-N, history. I think this author's done, it's one of the best books. Who killed JFK? It's all here, boy. It is. What really happened during 9/11? We see the works of the deep state, CIA, the FBI, the National Security Agency, all of these groups, what they do, and the crookedness of them, the perversity of them. Hidden history. I want you to have this book, just $20 plus $5 shipping and handling, $25, ask for the book, Hidden History, and we'll send it right out to you. You can also go to our webpage, powerofprophecy.com, powerofprophecy.com. You'll see the book there, and you can order it with your PayPal or your charge card. Of course, when you call us up at our number, 1-800-234-9673, and ask the friendly receptionist to order that you tell them you want to order this book. It's by Donald Jeffries, by the way. Donald Jeffries. I had him on this program. You can order the interview I had with an hour's interview with Donald Jeffries. That's $10 extra. Ask for the audio tape or the CD on either medium. Hidden History. The subtitle says, An Exposé of Modern Crimes, Conspiracies, and Cover-Ups in American Politics. It's even got a foreword by Roger Stone. You know Roger Stone, the friend of Donald Trump? This is a book of historic importance. It documents true American history. It's hidden. Who killed Martin Luther King? And all of these airlines that have crashed, was it just an accident or was it a planned situation? Why did we get in Iraq? Why did George Bush take us in Iraq? Well, he said he was all mixed up because he got intelligence wrong. Oh, sure. Afghanistan, we're still over there. What for? This book will tell you. Hidden History. $20 plus $5 shipping and handling. Please order it today. I'm going to have Donald Jeffries on again sometime, Jerry, because he did a great job, and he's a good man. Hidden History. Again, we're at 1-800-234-9673. 1-800, that's free, 234-9673. You can write to us here at Power of Prophecy, 1708-1708, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. We've been right here hunkered down for, 25 years, 30 years, something like that. Boy, hey, I'm getting old. What is this? Hey, Jerry, don't smile. Don't laugh. Hey, you're getting old, too. Yeah, Jerry's, he's a little bit younger than me. And, Jerry, he's a great voice. And I hope when I retire, he can become the voice of Power of Prophecy. Because we're going to continue on, folks. We're not going to stop. I have wonderful employees here. And, they work for us here 25, 24, 16 years, eight. I don't know. All of them have different numbers. I don't know why they put up with my personality, I guess. And I know what it is. Wanda works here. Wanda works here in the office right next to me. She sort of runs things and tells me what to do every day. I tell you, Jerry, these women. And then we have Michelle and Sandra. I think these women, they're running this ministry. Yeah.
They are.
They are. They're telling us what to do. Oh, my goodness. Well, but they're sweet. They're very nice. Yeah, Wanda's very kind, and she's very generous. Are you listening, Wanda? Sometimes she listens to my radio programs, too. You know, it's tough being the wife of Tex Mars. You got to go home, and then I get enthused, and I talk to her about all this stuff. And it's like ho-hum to her. I mean, she heard me so much. And I said, did you listen to my tape this last week? Boy, I did this. She says, well, Tex, I hear you 20 times, every day. I feel sorry for her. She cannot escape, but she's a blessing to me. God gave her to me. And Jerry, your wife, she's a sweetheart. Hey, guess what? I married Jerry and his precious wife. I was the one who married them. I got them up to the front, and they said, I do, and then they kiss and all that kind of stuff, like married. I was the one. Yeah, I'm very proud of that. Nice little chapel. It was beautiful. Beautiful service. I'm proud of that. Now let's return to our regular program. We're talking about President Trump. Listen, a young man was murdered named Seth Rich, S-E-T-H, Rich. And it turns out that he was one of the top officials. He was a young man in his 30s at the Democrat National Committee. He was a mixed up Democrat, but he saw how wicked they were, and he saw how they were rigging the elections. No doubt he saw what was happening to Donald Trump, but he also saw what was happening to his hero, Bernie Sanders, the socialist. They were cheating. Now, a woman named Debbie Wasserman Schultz, a Jewish woman, was the head of the Democrat National Committee. She's obviously very crooked. And Seth Rich, some of these Democrats have a little bit of conscience, and he must have had a little bit of conscience. And he started passing on secrets. He had the computers. He saw all of their emails back and forth to each other. He was right at the hub, the very center of the Democrat National Committee, Seth Rich. He saw what was going on, and guess what? He started collecting all these emails online, and he started passing them on to a group named WikiLeaks. WikiLeaks. Now, WikiLeaks they started publishing these things. Julian Assange is head of WikiLeaks. He's holed up in the embassy in Ecuador. Now, why is he there hiding out? Because the United States government is opposed to him, and they've been trying to grab him. And they'll probably kill him when they do. Probably something will happen to him in prison. The other prisoners will kill him. It'll all be planned, of course. So Julian Assange stays as a prisoner in that Ecuadorian embassy. But meanwhile, he publishes all his information under the name of WikiLeaks.com. And he published the information that Seth Rich gave him. And that's how we knew about the pizzeria in Washington, D.C., where they were evidently, according to allegations, they do terrible things to little children. Oh, yes. The Podesta, one of the top campaign advisors, that crooked devil, he and his brother. Pizzagate. You've heard about Pizzagate. And then there was the witch they brought in, Miss Abramovich. She does spirit cooking. They drink the blood of their victims. This is true. I'm telling you the truth. Hey, Brahma, I mean, I had a picture in my newsletter showing you a vat of blood and a dead body laying in it. These pictures have got out. Seth Rich was one of the ones publishing them. But Seth Rich isn't with us anymore. He was murdered right during the height of the campaign. Suddenly, near the Democrat National Committee headquarters and near his apartment where he lived, he was found murdered. Two men murdered him. But you know what? It's strange. They murdered the guy and didn't take his billfold. He had money. He had a watch on, a very expensive watch. They didn't want that. They wanted him dead. But good enough. It was a good idea. There was a video cam of him being killed by these guys so that the Washington, D.C. police could go find him and get him, right? Oh, yes, we're going to find out who murdered him. But wait. Something happened. The D.C. police seem to have lost the video. They don't have it anymore. And the FBI became involved in this case because Seth Rich was in the Democrat National Committee, and he was a very important person. But now the FBI won't speak to anybody about it. James Comey, the crooked, filthy, rotten guy head of the FBI, he suddenly covered it all up. The Seth Rich murder. But that's okay, because a man from Haiti, one of the top government officials there, he came to the United States just 2 weeks ago. He was being called by the Senate Intelligence Committee to speak before them. He was going to out what the Clintons and the Bushes had done, robbing his country when they had the earthquake there. They asked for millions of dollars, hundreds of millions of dollars from Americans for these poor Haitians. And Americans, out of the goodness of our hearts, we gave the money to George W. Bush and to Bill Clinton, and then they stole it. Plus Hillary Clinton put her rotten friends and gave them all kind of contracts as Secretary of State. The whole thing is a rotten mess. And this government official of Haiti was going to come and speak to the Senate committee. He had all this information, but he's dead now. 2 days before he was to speak to the committee, and I'm talking about just a couple of weeks ago, he was found suicided. He shot himself in the head in his hotel. He was excited about coming to America and exposing these people that had robbed his country and stolen millions of dollars. Hillary Rodham Clinton, Bill Clinton, George W. Bush. But he died. The Haitian died. And Seth Rich is dead. And we know that Hillary and a woman named Chalupa that worked for the Democrat National Committee, she had her pals over in Ukraine. They hate the Russians in the Ukraine. They hate Putin. And she went to the Ukraine and was getting money for Hillary Clinton through the Ukrainians. Now, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, when all this started coming out about Podesta and the witch Abramovich and Pizzagate and all these things started being come out from WikiLeaks, and it showed how she had rigged the election. She's a crooked person herself. She resigned as the head, and I bet she was banished. I bet you Hillary said, "You're a crook. Get out of here." She resigned one day for all these evil deeds she had done, and the next day she began her new job as campaign manager. She was head of the Democrat National Committee, and she left because of these embarrassing revelations about her crookedness, and Hillary made her campaign manager. And it came out that Podesta had said somebody has been leaking things from the Democrat National Committee. We're going to find out who it is, and they're going to pay for it. Well, Seth Rich paid. And Podesta said he was going to pay. He didn't say Seth Rich exactly, but he made it plain. I think I know who killed Seth Rich, don't you? Now, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, I opened up my newspaper just the other day, and guess what happened? Turns out that her computers, and by the way, their computers, the Democrat National Committee, they told the FBI they were not going to give them up so they could research and find out how they got all these emails and everything. Instead, the Democrat National Committee said, Russia did it. Russia did it. Oh, Russia did it. They colluded with Trump, and they must have done it, and they gave our stuff to WikiLeaks. Yes, Russia did it. So the FBI under Comey says, well, let me go and check your computer, and we've got these technical experts, and we can find out who went into your computers and got all these emails. If Russia did it, we'll find out. And Democrats said, no, just forget about it. We're not going to give up our computers. We're not going to allow them to be checked by the FBI. Now, why is that? Friends, if I have my computers messed up here in this ministry, somebody's been stealing information from them, I want the FBI or somebody to come in and find out. Of course, with me, they'd probably put something evil on my computers. I'd at least get the local police. I can trust some of them. But the Democrat National Committee said, oh, no, 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 don't touch our computers. Because they have all this crooked information. And there's a lot more on there about the Ukrainians, the money they've been taking, about the Clinton Foundation. Folks, that guy, they had over $2 billion in the Clinton Foundation. Where did that money go to? It's still out there. $2 billion. And the Russia, in one fatal swoop, gave $145 million. The Clinton Foundation. Now, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, it seems that her own computers and her congressional offices and other Democrat congressmen, they had their information stolen. It seems that the people they had hired to be the IT, that's the you know, the experts who take care of your computers and make sure everything's working right, they hired this Pakistani team. Pakistanis, that's Muslims. Well, of course, because Hillary had a lesbian girlfriend, Huma Abedin, A-B-E-D-I-N. Her husband is the crummy dude, a wiener, a former congressman wiener, and he's been indicted and found guilty now and given some prison time. Huma Abedin, a big Muslim. Her mother and dad are the editors of one of the Muslim magazines that promotes Islam. These people are all into Islam. They're all into these other religions. They hate Christianity. Now, Debbie Schultz hired these Muslim Pakistanis, a forward group, to take care of all her computers. She wanted these Muslims, and I'm sure they were recommended by Huma Abedin, she wanted them to watch over her computers because they connected with the Democrat National Committee. And they had all the same information that Seth Rich had were still on these computers because they wouldn't let the FBI look at them. They were on the Democrat National Committee. And they were at Debbie Wasserman Schultz's office in the Capitol. And they had all this dirt on them about all the money they had brought, all the pay-for-play stuff, all this crookedness, everything about Pizzagate, everything's on these computers. But it turns out this Pakistani team, they were outed by somebody. And they went in and they owned a home in Washington, D.C., these Pakistanis. And all of the information they had been sending from Wasserman Schultz's office to their computers. They'd been stealing her computer's information and having it sent to their home computers. They had all these expensive home computers. And they had probably $1 million worth of computers in their home. And they were getting all this information from the Democratic National Committee, and they were sending it out. Probably to all of the Muslims around the world who knew everything that Hillary and Huma Abedin were doing. Well, it seems somebody got on their case. Now, wouldn't the FBI? Now, let me explain to you. The Pakistanis found out that somebody was on their case. They had to get out of America fast. And they did. And they took hammers and they beat these computers to a pulp. And then they rented out the home. It just happened that they rented it out to a Marine officer, U.S. Marines, and his wife, a U.S. Navy officer. Then a couple days after they rented the house out, they came back. They thought about it and said, you know what? Maybe we didn't beat those computers to a pulp enough. Maybe the FBI might get involved in this and they're going to find out what was on those computer drives. They're going to come out and check those computers, the ones that we smashed. We thought we destroyed them all, but maybe they still have information on it. They're going to find out what we've been doing, that we've been stealing all this information from the Democratic National Committee, and we've been passing it out to Muslim governments across this world. And, of course, to Al-Qaeda, to ISIS, and so forth. And so they went back and they knocked on the doors and they said, we came back for our computers. And you know what the Marine officer told them that they had rented the house to? He said, I'm sorry. I've turned your computers over to the government already. They said, the government? Why did you do that? He said, because they had little plaques on them that said property of U.S. government. So many thousands of dollars fine if you have them in your home. They were U.S. government computers. They had been given these computers by the Democratic National Committee from the U.S. government. They were stealing all this information, and they had all kinds of money, by the way. Now, the FBI wasn't interested in these computers. They had done nothing. They had allowed this situation to develop. The FBI knows all this stuff. The National Security Agency knows this stuff. The Department of Justice knows this stuff. But they've been letting it just get dirtier and dirtier and dirtier. That's the deep state. They knew what these Pakistanis were doing. Now, why were the Pakistanis suddenly, 6 months after Trump took office, why were they now desperate to take these, to smash these computers and to get out of town? And by the way, these Pakistani guys who had received millions of dollars from Debbie Wasserman Schultz and these other Democrat congressmen and from the Democratic National Committee, why were they so eager to get out of town? They were arrested by the FBI at the airport. They were on their way. They were going back to Pakistan. Why were they so eager? Who was on their trail? It wasn't the FBI. The FBI had done nothing. But the FBI had to do something because this Marine officer called him and said, there's a bunch of government material here, a bunch of government computers. We rented this house, and the previous occupants had all these government computers. What? Who had told him? Who had warned them, get out of town? I think it was the Russians. The Russians. See, the Russians are sick and tired of being blamed for everything. They're blamed for everything. Putin is blamed. Why? Because Putin is he's promoted Christianity, and he's been against homosexuality. And he's all these horrors, he's been against it. And the homosexuals are desperate to destroy Putin, just like they want to destroy Trump. And they're sick and tired of being blamed for it. Putin is. He's sick and tired of the Democrats saying, collusion between Trump and the Russians. And the Russians, they did it all. But they won't tell people that the Russians also gave $145 million to Hillary Clinton and paid her husband $500,000 for a 15-minute speech. So the Russians started checking around. They got a lot of spies in the United States. They investigated, and they found out, you know what? We're being blamed for WikiLeaks, too. We never gave that information. And Julian Assange said the Russians did not give us this material. But they wouldn't tell who did. But then WikiLeaks now put out a $10,000 reward for any information leading to the capture of the person or persons who murdered Seth Rich. So we know that Seth Rich was giving them information. Now, these Pakistanis were giving it to the Muslims through Huma Abedin and Debbie Wasserman Schultz and Hillary Rodham Clinton. That's what I'm convinced of. And I believe if I had my own investigative team, I could find out. But I don't have it right now. I'm just conjecturing, I suppose. But the Russians found out about it, and they got with the FBI, and they know a new FBI chief is coming on board. And they got with the Trump administration and said, we want to tell you what's going on. These Pakistanis down there, and they're getting all this information from the government, from the congressmen. You need to do something about it. They told the FBI. The FBI wouldn't do anything about it. Why do you think Trump is mad at Sessions? Sessions is a coward. Sessions needed to be fired. He's got two men right now. I'm talking about Jeff Sessions, the FBI chief. That's why Trump wants to fire him. He's in charge of the FBI, too. You know, Sessions is attorney general. Who now is the head of the FBI? Well, that would be a guy named Andrew McCabe. He's an Obama guy. His wife ran for office in Virginia, and she was given $700,000 to run for office. And I bet a lot of money went in McCabe's back pocket. That's right, a liberal Democrat. McCabe is now the acting FBI director under Sessions. Sessions is letting him just sit there. And then over at the Justice Department, who's the number two man, the deputy? Well, that would be Rosenstein, the deputy attorney general. And Rosenstein is what? He's an appointee by Obama. So Trump has the acting director of the FBI, an Obama man. The deputy director of the attorney general's office, an Obama man. And he wanted Sessions to fire them. And when a new administration comes in, they always get rid of the previous administration's people. It's just part of their life. But Sessions didn't. He kept them on board. Do they have dirt on Sessions? They probably do. through the National Security Agency, they know every email you send out. They know what they've, from years and years, they've been spying and they've got dossiers on everybody. I'm sure they have a dossier on me. Probably knew when I went and brushed my teeth this morning. They know everything about these congressmen. And Jeff Sessions has recused himself from the Russian investigation. And instead, he let his deputy, Mr. Rosenstein, take care of it. And of course, Rosenstein promptly appointed Robert Mueller. Now, Robert Mueller was the guy that covered up 9/11. He was director of the FBI during 9/11. 3,000 deaths there, my friends. 3,000 people died when those buildings tumbled down. And he did nothing about it. And now they made him the investigator of Trump. But now they say there's no collusion. They've been investigating for over a year, and they finally admit there's no collusion. So they don't need Mueller anymore. But Mueller stays on. Now he's looking at the whole family, the whole transition team, and the family. You know, even Ivanka, I'm sure she's being looked at. Have they ever done it? Did they ever run a red light in their life? Ooh. Have you never done something in your life that they're gonna get them for? And they're gonna indict them for something or other. You know, they say the Justice Department can indict a ham sandwich. There's a blizzard of laws out there. They can get you for this one or that one or this one or that one or this one or that one. Or they make them up. They make up laws.
They can't do that because the judiciary won't let them. The judges.
Oh, yeah. The judges appointed by Barack Obama and Bill Clinton and George W. Bush. Friends, Trump has all these people against him. He's got the bogus Russian investigation by Mueller, who's a filthy, dirty traitor to America. He is. And he's got Debbie Schultz out there. And by the way, she covered up this thing. She didn't want people to know about these Pakistanis. She was trying to hide everything. And Rodney Howard Brown, the clergyman, says that his congressman, he went to visit his congressman, and his congressman said, I'll tell you a secret. They're going to kill Trump. They're planning to kill him. Is that true, folks? This clergyman was told that by his congressman. They're planning to kill our president. Now, what is the Justice Department doing about that? What is the Secret Service doing? All these other people out there, they're putting on the internet, we want to kill, we want to do this, we want to rip his head off, we want to do ABC, we want to murder this Donald Trump. And nobody even investigates them. Maybe some nut will do it. You and I need to pray for Trump. Now he's going against the transgenders. He says we can't allow them to come in and get these operations and be out of commission for 2 years in the military. We can't allow transgenders to be in the military. And he said there will be no transgenders in the military. And now the transgenders and the homosexuals, they've got him. They're angry now. They're going to be rioting and demonstrating in the streets. Wait for the homosexuals and the transgenders. They're angry about him. And the establishment Republicans, what are they doing? Nothing. McConnell, the rat, is doing nothing. Paul Ryan, nothing. They want Trump to flame out. And Maxine Waters, the 79-year-old black person who lives in a $4.5 million mansion. How'd she get that money? Through crookedness. Of course she did. You don't make that much as a Congress. Oh, no. She didn't make that much as a Congress lady. $4.5 million mansion she lives in a white neighborhood, of course. But she's black. And, of course, all of them are pro-abortion. Donald Trump is standing up to all of them. He's not going to allow transgenders in the military. He's gonna help our police. He's gonna build up the military and cause respect to our military men and women. I support Donald Trump 100%. You send me all the letters you want to, but I'm seeing what's happening here. They're trying to destroy this man. They won't put Mike Pence in. Mike Pence would it be a big nothing. We've got to pray for and protect Donald Trump. It's his survival that is at stake, and it is America's survival, and it is our physical survival. This is Tex Mars. You've been listening to Power of Prophecy, and my prayer is that you'll tune in each week and discover the power of prophecy.